Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. As you may know, there's a week-long International Apostolic Congress on Divine Mercy to be held in April as from the 2nd of the month in Rome. That's to coincide with the 3rd anniversary of the death of Blessed John Paul II. This event was recently presented at the Vatican Press Office and stems from a devotion particularly vibrant in the suburbs of the Polish city of Krakow at the Shrine of Wageniki, a place I've been to myself on various occasions, collecting testimonies from pilgrims there. Among them, a Polish sister who is based there. She introduced herself to me as Sister Salvatrice. Let's listen to what she told me. This devotion stemmed from a particular person who had a divine revelation. Her name was Sister Faustina Kowalska. She's now Saint Faustina Kowalska. What happened to Sister Faustina?
Well, I would like to say that from her childhood, we call her Helen because it was her first name. She was a chosen soul. God has chosen her to remind the contemporary world about his mystery of mercy. We all know that that the church, our church from the beginning, not only was born out of that mystery of God, but that mystery, the mystery of God's love, which is always merciful to man, is proclaimed in the church, and the church lives by this mystery. But God, it was his will and his choice that in the 20th century, through Jesus, because Sister Faustina, when she entered our congregation, she had the visions, the revelations of the merciful Lord. So God, through Jesus, wanted once again remind about this mystery to the world. And he has chosen young Polish nun living at our convent to do this. So now this place where we are, the Shrine of the Divine Mercy, we call it at the moment, is the place where Sister Faustina lived long time, and she died also at this place. And from this place, the message of mercy is being spread all over the world.
The message of the Divine Mercy has a universal appeal, you were saying. Why do you think people are so attracted to it?
Why? Because now we are living in a special time. Many people are dwelling in the darkness. We can say that many of us have broken hearts. We can see the suffering, and we have many questions without answers. We ask for God, if that God is a love, really. And Jesus comes through Faustina and he says, yes, that's true. Tell everyone that I am a love itself and mercy itself. And tell more that humankind will not find peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. So it's a special time. And additionally, I think that we were created for love and out of love, and we don't find peace until we love someone and we feel we are loved by someone. And God is telling us the truth about ourselves and about He, Himself. So that's the message of mercy. God is a love and mercy, full of merciful love, which is always compassionate, benevolent, which always rises man above his weakness. God always embraces us. Doesn't matter what about our condition at the moment. So that's the truth about God. And at the same time, we come to get to know the truth about ourselves, that we really need God.
Sister Faustina had her first vision, right? In, I think, Lithuania, in Vilnius, is that right? No, here.
No. The first vision when her mission started was at Płock. It's close to Warsaw, not in Krakow, not in Vilnius, in 1931. She was a very young sister.
You said Vilnius, though.
Vilnius later on, because as a nun, she lived and she worked at many houses of our congregation during her religious life. She spent a total 13 years here as a nun, But one of the first houses she worked was Płock. And then when she comes to Płock as a very young sister, in the evening in February 1931, when she comes to her cell in the evening, she sees Jesus clothed in white garment. One hand was raised in a gesture of blessing and the other one was touching the garment on the breast. And from the fold of his garment, two great rays issued forth, one pale, as she noted, and the other one red. This was the first vision exactly. But she had dozens of visions later on. It was the first one, and according to that vision, during the life of Sister Faustina, I wanted to say already, the first image of the Divine Mercy at the request of Jesus himself was painted. And that first original image of the Divine Mercy is at the Church of the Holy Spirit in Lithuania, in Vilnius.
So it's not it here in Krakow.
Yes, it was the first vision. When she was in Krakow, later on, Jesus asked her to celebrate the Hour of Mercy. Now this hour is quite famous in the whole world. This is 3 p.m. every day. When the clock strikes 3, Jesus asks us to meditate upon his passion, especially about his agony, about his death. And he wants us to think about blood and water which gushed forth from his pierced heart on the cross, because he says there were rays and there were like rivers, there was a river of mercy of his love. So this is the special hour that we have now also through Saint Faustina. When Sister Faustina went to Vilnius, Jesus asked her, he dictated her in a special prayer on the chaplet to the Divine Mercy. When we pray the chaplet, we ask for God's mercy for us and for the whole world, and we offer God the Father, his only beloved Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have else? We have also, through Saint Faustina, at the request of Jesus, the Feast of the Divine Mercy, very important day a year, first Sunday after Easter.
But Sister Salvatrice wasn't the only person I spoke to on this occasion. Another person I met there was an American lady, a nurse, on pilgrimage. Her name, Marie Romagnano. Stay tuned.
I've been devoted to the Divine Mercy for 20 years, but what really pulled this organization together is, as a nurse, I do catastrophic injury traumas, and when September 11th, was in the process of evolving, I had called numbers of nurses to get together. We were going with the Red Cross down to New York City to help. And as the day wore on, we realized that after the buildings, the towers had fallen down, that there would be very few survivors and that there may be thousands of people trapped and dying. And then the Red Cross called us back and said that we could not go because they were not sure of what was going to be evolving. And so we talked to the hospitals in Boston. We were going in to volunteer there because the Boston hospitals were evacuating all the patients because they thought there might be many thousands of injured. So what actually happened as the day wore on and everybody realized that there were not going to be any survivors. So this was a tremendous loss for the nurses, for the whole medical community that had prepared, and our hearts were so much trying to reach out to these people and help. And then I realized the only real thing that we can do is pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy for those that have died and those that are in the process of dying, because there was no way of knowing how many were actually still in the process of leaving to go to heaven.
This is a practical application of the universal message of Divine Mercy. It seems very removed from how the devotion first started in Poland in the beginning of the century, with some divine revelations that Sister Faustina has recorded in her diaries. How does it fit in, do you think?
Well, it fits in very well with nurses. And that's why we are looking for nurses that would like to be in the service of the Divine Mercy. Because when you read St. Faustina's diary and really see what the message of mercy is, Jesus said to her, "Proclaim that mercy is my greatest attribute, and all my works are crowned by my hands with mercy." And from this, you realize that a nurse's hands are actually bringing the act of mercy to the patient. So if the nurse herself has Jesus in her heart and realizes that the merciful Jesus is the one that's doing the act of mercy, then you have nurses that are bringing Christ directly to the bedside. Furthermore, not enough is known about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The chaplet was specifically given to our Lord for the dying, as well as for other reasons for general prayers, but this prayer is especially powerful. And so if nurses teach their patients, teach their families, teach other staff, that when they're in the middle of a major trauma, like the emergency room, the ICU, the CCU, this is where you see many, many deaths. Instead of becoming a part of running around, of course you have to do your duties, but a person needs to be assigned or responsible to say the chaplet, either before the death or as things are evolving. So if nurses can be trained in the spirituality of the Divine Mercy devotion, this is very, very powerful. And to take the chaplet, take the image of the Divine Mercy. By taking these two elements of the Divine Mercy devotion, they're also spreading the message of the Divine Mercy. And so this
is a message of hope.
Absolutely. So nurses already have very, very tender and compassionate hearts. If a nurse unites their actions with the passion of Jesus, the compassionate and tender heart of Jesus becomes the merciful act that the nurse is doing. And if nurses could only realize how important their job is by embracing the Divine Mercy devotion and having this spirituality, it makes an entirely different world around them.
There's a huge following in the United States from your group.
Yes, that's correct. When the first press release went out, we were just inundated with telephone calls of nurses that were interested. And as time goes on, I've actually started giving classes on the Divine Mercy devotion to nurses specifically so that they know how to present this to a person that's dying or to present it to other staff members so that they have a team, a spiritual rehabilitation team, so that they can specifically pray for the patients. Now, this is all happening in the greater Boston, Massachusetts area, and also we have nurses from other parts of the world that we've been contacting to talk to them about joining our group. We would like every nurse in the whole world to embrace the Divine Mercy devotion and use the merciful Jesus as their bedside manner.
My thanks there go to both Sister Salvatrice and to Marie Romagnano, whose voices you've just heard. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.